I want to read just the first 10 verses of Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, and we'll read from verse 1. Ezekiel writes this: "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army." We know that God will bless the reading and the preaching of his word for his own glory's sake. Ezekiel and the people of God were in desperate circumstances. They were in exile, and they were surrounded by falsehood, by false religion, by those who were enemies of the truth, by those who sought really the demeaning and perhaps even the destruction of the people of God. In that respect, we can take that picture and we can apply it to our own day. You have heard our brother Ivan this evening speaking about 0.1% believers. 2,000 believers in total in a land of 2 million people, surrounded by false religion, by those who are ignorant of the gospel, and indeed by those, because of their darkness, are enemies of the gospel. A desperate situation. We might describe that picture that we have here in Ezekiel 37 as a picture really of hopelessness. It seemed that evil was all around, that the tide of evil and error and wrongdoing had welled up to such an extent that the truth was about to be buried and God's people destroyed. And that's how it is in Eastern Europe and in Central Asia and so many of these countries in which SGA works. We are surrounded by wrong thinking, wrong ideas, erroneous, superstitious religious belief. And the picture at times, humanly speaking, looks hopeless. In this context in which the vision was given here to Ezekiel, that was also true. Ezekiel had come to his people with a message of healing, a promise of restoration after the awful disobedience and the scattering of God's people. But I'm sure as folk listened to Ezekiel bringing that message of hope, they must have wondered really if the man was sane or wise at all. How could it be, as you look round in that picture of hopelessness, how could it be that God could change such a situation? Well, as we read through this account of the vision that Ezekiel had, we see that God comes to him. And in the midst of that hopeless situation, God gives what appears to be a very foolish command. And the command is in verse 4, where God tells Ezekiel, "Prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Now, what God commanded Ezekiel here was, from a human perspective, utterly foolish. It was as wise as perhaps me preaching to the pews here tonight and telling the pews to repent. What a foolish thing that would be. But this was a valley of dry bones. There was no life here. In fact, it's interesting what the Holy Spirit says. It says that as Ezekiel went about and he looked at these bones, he says, and lo, they were very dry. Emphasizing the, if you like, the long-standing nature of the spiritual death that had overcome the people of God. So it was a hopeless situation, and there was a foolish command, humanly speaking, from God, to prophesy to these bones. Well, it's the same today for us. There are those who scorn the idea of preaching, and there are those even who take the name Christian who demean or dilute the importance of the proclamation, the preaching of the Word of God. And of course, there are many today who scornfully dismiss as foolishness the content which we preach. Of course, it was true in New Testament times. See, the preaching of the cross was to those who perish, and it is to those who perish foolishness. But yet, God is wiser than man. And what is foolishness with men is wisdom with God. And this command, this foolish command, comes to Ezekiel to speak to what is dead, to preach to what is dead where there is no life. How foolish indeed. We are called to preach the gospel and declare the word of God to those who are dead in trespasses and in sins. I'm sure you can think of individuals, perhaps in your own family or in your own neighborhood, and you wonder how the gospel could ever reach and touch them. How could these people ever be saved? How could they ever be transformed? But you know, dead is dead. It doesn't matter whether people are spiritually dead but go to church, or spiritually dead and dismiss and revile church. They're spiritually dead. And God tells us to do what is foolish in the eyes of men. To go and preach. And to preach a message which to men is foolish. This was Ezekiel's charge. But what we see next is the obedience of Ezekiel. The obedience of the servant of God. And so he goes at God's command. He says in verse 7, I prophesied as I was commanded. However hopeless the situation seemed to Ezekiel, and he was a man like us, so I'm sure he had his own thoughts. However foolish it appeared to him to preach to a field of death, as it were, he was moved by the Spirit of God to obey God's foolish command. And he began to preach. He began to preach to these bones. Can you imagine anything so foolish? I wonder what you would think if, in fact, I were standing here to an empty church preaching to the pews and you happened to put your head through the door and heard me exhorting the pews, exhorting what was dead to come to life. But Ezekiel obeyed. I thought about this, and I thought about Jesus standing at the grave of Lazarus. What an instructive story and account that is. That which was dead, that which in fact his sister said was beginning to decay and had begun to stink, as it were, in her view. And Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. How foolish that must have appeared to those who looked on. And how foolish we must appear at times when we preach the gospel. But we do so, like Ezekiel, in obedience to God's command. Paul talked about the fact that he was sent to preach the gospel, to proclaim it. God sent out that, if you like, that embryo church into the world to disciple the nation, to preach the gospel to all, to baptize those converts and to teach them all that he had commanded him. So there is the hopelessness of the situation, there is the foolishness of the command, there is the obedience of the prophet, there is the power of the Lord at work here. You see, this was a foolish action. This was a hopeless attempt. This was a ridiculous activity apart from the power of God. And what we see in verses 5 and verse 9, first of all, God promises, and then it happens. God promises, he says, "Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live." In verse 9, "Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live." Up until this point in time, everything seems hopeless, foolish, ridiculous, almost laughable. But God reminds Ezekiel of his power. The power which in the very first instance, as God formed man from the dust of the ground, he breathed into him the breath of life. We read in that creation story, God spoke, and it was so. Any estimation of the situation which does not take into account the almighty power of God is an estimation which is false. Any verdict passed upon this situation which doesn't take into account the almightiness of God is a false verdict. And here we see the power of God at work. It may seem to us, as we look out upon our world and as we look out upon this community around Lisburn, because the people here are just as dead as those in Macedonia, spiritually speaking. As we look out here, it may appear to us that we're on a hopeless mission. Sometimes I sit in airport lounges and I watch hundreds of people passing by. We spend quite a bit of time sometimes in arrivals and departures lounges. And we watch people going by, hundreds, thousands of them. Sometimes I wonder how many of these people have had a thought today about eternal things, about spiritual things. It seems hopeless to reach these people. How will this situation ever be changed? And it can't be apart from the power of God. And here God breaks in, as it were, to a dead and a lifeless scene with a demonstration of his power. And I love reading these verses. "So I prophesied," verse 7, "as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Prophesy to the wind. Prophesy, son of man. Say to the winds, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live." Verse 10 tells us this, "So I prophesied, as he commanded me," the obedience of Ezekiel. And what happened? The power of God came down. The breath came into them, and they live. And they live. What is impossible with men is possible with God. I just want to ask you tonight, individually, where are you spiritually? You see, if you're not in Christ, the Bible's verdict, not my verdict, not the church's verdict here, the Bible's verdict, the verdict of God upon your life is that you are spiritually dead. Oh, you may be here listening to the word of God Perhaps you may say your prayers. Perhaps you may give in your collection. Perhaps you may even read the scriptures. You may do all of these things. There are many. Ivan has been describing to us tonight religious people, Orthodox people, and they're going through the motions. They're kissing icons. They're saying prayers. They're paying the priest to do various religious ceremonies for them. They're very religious people, but they're dead. And it's possible that you tonight, in this Sunday evening service, are still in the death of your sins and under God's condemnation. Dear friends, if that is true, face up to the truth. It's no use pretending that in some way or another you can revive yourself or you can restore yourself or you can make yourself right with God. You're dead. You have no spiritual ability to bring yourself to God. You have no spiritual resources with which you can improve yourself or make yourself acceptable to God. None. You're spiritually dead, and only the power of God, the power of the Lord and His living word, can transform your life. And so the last thing, just as we finish, is the wonder of the transformation here. We saw the, if you like, the hopelessness of the situation and the foolishness, so-called, of the command of God. We saw the power of the Lord. And here we see the wonder of the transformation. What we read in verse 10, they lived, they stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now listen, Ezekiel was speaking to people who were in bondage. People who were under the lash, as it were. People who had been subjugated by their enemies. People who were surrounded by all kinds of falsehood. People who, humanly speaking, people who were, well, they were without significance. Without power, without ability. Without hope, perhaps. But the transformation, when these bones were made to live, was an exceeding great army. And I believe, dear friends, that that's a picture of the Church of Jesus Christ. The Church of Jesus Christ. Yes, in many countries of the world today, under the lash, you go to countries like Uzbekistan, where churches are being burned, believers imprisoned. There's Eastern Ukraine, we know of reports there, churches burned. Our brother Derek has been telling us about believers who have been executed because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And the church appears in many places to be on its knees. Perhaps we would say almost down and out. But no. The church is His church. The people are His people. And all of that dark picture disappears when we see and understand the power, the transforming power of the Word of God and the life of God. And the church today, which appears to be small and insignificant, a pilgrim church making its way, perhaps pitifully it appears at times to others through this world, one day that church will be the conquering church. Because it is Christ's church. Here's our hope in the preaching of the gospel. It's not in the resources that SGA have. It's not anything in ourselves. It's not in our eloquence or in our cleverness or in our means and ways of raising support. It's not in any of that. The hope of a great transformation in the lives of individual men and women, and indeed in this world and in this world system, lies in the power and the promises of God and the gospel. And we have a wonderful gospel. We have a gospel which transforms sinners into saints, children of the devil into children of God, those who are bound for hell into those who are bound for heaven and home. That is our gospel. That's where our hope lies, in the God of the gospel the God who sent his Son, Jesus Christ our Savior, to be the Savior of the world. May the Lord encourage our hearts again and bless us as we recall and reflect upon this. Oh, hopeless situation. Foolish command. But the power of the Lord coming into that hopelessness and bringing about that great transformation. May it be so in our own land in these days. May it be so also in the lands of Eastern Europe and Central Asia. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your attention to the Word of God. And may God bless you richly tonight and in the days to come.